Let's talk now about WikiLeaks. The group facilitated the release of hacked emails from the Democratic National Committee this week. You've certainly heard about that. WikiLeaks was also involved in another recent massive doxing scandal. That's the release of someone else's personal information. Just after the recent coup attempt in Turkey, WikiLeaks published links to databases that contain private information on almost every female voter in Turkey, more than 20 million names, addresses, and sometimes government ID numbers. So some security analysts are now saying we're in a new era they're calling the weaponization of WikiLeaks. Patrick Tucker has been following all this for Defense One. He joins us now. Patrick, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So you recently published a really interesting piece where you quoted several security and technology experts, and they described the weaponization of WikiLeaks. What exactly did they mean?
Think back to, like, the Iraq War, right? And WikiLeaks, when it first rose to prominence, was associated with it with a data dump that they received from Bradley, now Chelsea Manning. They published the data dump in a way that a lot of people said was sort of reckless, but no one could dispute that it also contained evidence that was of the public interest. What this is here, it's very different. WikiLeaks as a platform functions anonymously. It allows different people to contribute different data sets, stolen, hacked, however you'd like it, perhaps stolen from an insider within an organization or elsewhere. And then WikiLeaks looks through the data, tries to verify that it's authentic, has guidelines that allow for the publication of that information, and then they put it out there. What's remarkable in this case is that WikiLeaks actually had an indication in this particular incident that the data that they were dealing with came from a state-sponsored source, that this was a state-sponsored breach into the DNC, that they were dealing with documents that a spy agency had actually taken and was now giving to them for free. They had full knowledge of that. That was something that was at very least a possibility when they were dealing with this data set of stolen DNC documents.
So let me just jump in here, because you wrote that WikiLeaks isn't performing a thorough analysis of the documents it's given any longer, or it doesn't care. To you,
right,
which one's more worrisome?
I'm inclined to actually say that the idea that they don't care is more worrisome. I think that the recent event where they sent out on their social media channels a link to a data set stolen that revealed the identities of the entire female voting population of Turkey is another example of this. There's a tremendous amount of recklessness in allowing your platform to be used as a publishing site by a foreign intelligence service, or any intelligence service, actually, for that matter. The fact that they don't care or seem to care that that's how that platform was used in that instance means that that's going to be a method going forward for other state intelligence bodies to dox, to shame, to persecute people within their countries or perhaps with nation states that they see as adversarial to them using WikiLeaks.
Using WikiLeaks as sort of
right,
legitimizing cover. Well,
right,
so let me ask you. I mean, you had mentioned Chelsea Manning and the 2010 documents that
right,
that WikiLeaks published. I mean, at that time, though, they actually went to great lengths to show that they were being careful with that data dump, right? Because sections were redacted. They even put out an edited video. They worked with certain organizations. It seemed as if they did care more then versus these like big doxing dumps or organizational
right,
doxing that you're talking about that we're seeing now. What has changed in that time with WikiLeaks?
It does seem to have changed. There's a lot of people that feel rather betrayed or at very least dismayed by the most recent current steps that WikiLeaks has taken to bring information that they consider vital to the public to everybody. You're absolutely right. In the original Chelsea Manning data dump, they did spend a lot of time redacting things. Obviously, again, Chelsea Manning serving a long prison term because of her involvement in that indicates that at very least there was some information that was important to the United States government that left, and possibly something that could have imperiled U.S. troops. But no clear act of directly, intentionally putting people in danger or negligently putting people in danger. And that's changed. This most recent event with the DNC, where they aren't verifying the veracity of sources that they're retweeting, and they don't seem to care that that material has come to them from a Russian intelligence agency, it does signal an enormous amount of recklessness. I think at this point, trying to explain all of the different changes that the organization has gone through, we're kind of left scratching our heads, especially considering how chameleon-like Julian Assange is becoming.
Right.
You know, it's he's an incredibly odd person in many ways. He now has a television show on RT, which is a state-sponsored Russian media outlet. There's a great Rand paper that talks about how Russia approaches media. They actually pride themselves on their ability to groups like Sputnik and RT, they can bring a lot of new information to light. They can totally scoop stories and act as incredible journalists, and then at the same time shill for different state parties, different interests that want to control them. It's fascinating.
So, Patrick, just to be clear, I want to be sure I heard you clearly. So, Julian Assange now has a show on a Russian state-sponsored media outlet, and there is also strong indication that a Russian-sponsored group is the source of these big DNC emails that were dumped on that WikiLeaks did the dump on.
Yeah, that's right. The show's on RT, and there's very strong indication that the two Russian-backed hacking groups, APT28 and APT29, were behind the breach into the DNC.
So we're not necessarily saying that there is a direct correlation between the two, but the web gets ever more tangled, I should say. But let me just ask for a second. I don't recall WikiLeaks ever necessarily professing any particular political allegiance or
right.
alliances. So to play the devil's advocate for a moment, why should WikiLeaks care where their documents are coming from if they believe that publishing those documents is for the public good?
It's an interesting philosophical question. Does WikiLeaks have some obligation to make sure that different state-run media agencies are not using the platform as a vehicle to carry out geopolitical agendas, geopolitical operations aimed at different individuals? My opinion is that, if you're going to accept stolen property and bring it to the light of the world because you feel it's in the public good, you have to know where you got it. I think that that's sort of the bare minimum of acceptable, responsible behavior as a media organization. And let's be frank, that's what they are. This is a media organization. They traffic in stolen property. And sometimes that stolen property should be brought to light. But you should know who gave it to you.
Well, Patrick Tucker is technology editor for Defense One. He's also the author of The Naked Future: What Happens in a World That Anticipates Your Every Move. Patrick, very fascinating to talk with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.